All right, let's have all the choir get up. The choir loft will start the service in about 3 minutes. Your hymnals, number 365. 365, we're going to stand and sing, How Great Thou Art, number 365. Sing out this morning now.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider.
pick up the tempo just a little bit. But when I think that God, His Son, not sparing. And then the last verse gives us that promise of eternal life. So let's sing the third, and we'll sing the last together.
And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die.
Amen. That's some of the best congregational singing you'll hear anywhere. That's great. I'm glad He's great, aren't you? Remember, He's never less than great. He's never good. He's always great. Because He can't just do good. He has to do very good. I'm glad you're here today. Good to be back with you. We so enjoy. Thank you praying for us while we're in New York City. And preach there at the 6th Avenue Baptist Church in Brooklyn. And we had a wonderful time. We got to see about everything. And walked. Listen, Judy and Bethany have that little box thing that tells how far you go and all that stuff. And by the time it was all over during the week, other than Sunday, of course, and the evenings because of the services, they walked 40 miles. And I walked more than that because I get up in the morning early before they got up and walk around the neighborhood about 6:30 in the morning. And so probably a little more than that. But I'm telling you, he was glad to get home and sit down for a little while. I'm telling you. But I appreciate so much your faithfulness. I appreciate Brother Steve filling in Wednesday night and Tim take care of all the music. And of course, Brother Scott Kylick was here for the services. And I appreciate him taking the time to come and be with us. I appreciate your prayer. I had a great meeting. I didn't see anybody saved. They did have some new folks in the church. One young lady named Rose. And she's a little Philippine girl, 23 years old. Got saved back in March. And she was in the service. Boy, she was wide open. And I went back to meet her and I shook her hand. She's about that tall. I'm not kidding. That's that tall. And she looked up at me. And she said, Pastor, can I ask you a question? Well, I just met her. I mean, I just introduced myself. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, go right ahead. And she asked me one of them questions, Steve, like that young lady did. And that Steve was talking about Sunday school. Before long, I'd answered six questions. I mean, every time I'd answer one, she'd say, can I ask you another one? And I said, Sister, we got to start service. I'm going to have to dismiss and go down to the front. But anyway, had such a wonderful time. Brother Richard Johnson and his wife Maggie, the folks at 6th Avenue, treated us so well. And we had safe journey both ways, coming and going. And so God was good. They got that Waze thing now that you kind of like GPS tells you how to get where you're going. It'll tell you how to get there without having to pay no tolls. Praise God. Today, the last time we went, we paid $145 total in toll. This time we paid $15. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so it took us a few minutes longer, not that bad, but got to see Pennsylvania. I got to see places I'd never been going around through there. But anyway, we're glad to be back with you in the service. And we're glad to have Brother Ralph and Edda Mae's daughter and son-in-law, Brother Billy Cook and his wife, wife Kathy there from Pensacola, or near there, and glad to have them here. We had a family here for Sunday school, but Steve must have run them off. They was here during Sunday school and left. No, they were from the same area of Florida, and the wife, their name was Belle. Maybe they'll be back tonight. I don't know how long the party's going, but anyhow, they had a family get together in Winnsboro at lunchtime, and so they left after Sunday school, but a good family that was passing through, and so hope maybe we get to see them again. But I'm glad that you're here. Appreciate you being Brother Chad, we talked about you up in New York. The people up in Brooklyn know who you are now. You're famous. So next time you go up there, your face might be on the side of a bus. Well, it's not on a milk carton, we're okay, huh? Amen? All right, I tell you what, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. And thank you again for being in the service today. And then we'll have the choir after we pray. You may be seated, and the choir will sing another number. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be back home at Anchor Baptist Church. Father, we so enjoyed the week in New York. Brother Richard Johnson and his people are so gracious and kind. Lord, we, Judy and I and Bethany, had such a wonderful time together, being able to see that place. But Lord, we also saw so much of the wickedness, so much of the sin, and so much of man's depravity. God, I'm thankful that I can come to a place. Now, Lord, Columbia is the same, maybe not on the same scale. Maybe we don't see it quite as much in the open. But God, the Bible said that man's heart is only evil continuously. So Lord, I'm thankful to be home, but I'm thankful to be saved. I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus as I walk through those city streets. So many of those folks just had everything they owned in a backpack or in a plastic bag as they laid over grates to get warm and laid on benches to get a place to lay down. I thought to myself how good God's been to me and my family. We could come home to a home that's got a yard and, but Lord, got family and friends and a church that we can go to. And God, I pray that we'll never forget and we'll never take for granted the great blessings of God upon us in these days. God, I thank you for the folks that were able, Brother Steve, Brother Scott, preach while I was gone. Thank you for their effort and the folks' faithfulness. God, I'm glad that when I do have opportunities to go, that I don't have to worry about what's going on back home. I appreciate that so very much. God, we do pray for the service today. It's a brand new day. It's a new Lord's Day. It's a beautiful day. So God, I pray that the music will be honoring to Thee, and it'll bring encouragement to the hearts of Your people. In the preaching hour, Father, I pray that the message would so speak to our heart and would encourage us to continue for God. Maybe there's a lost person here in the service. I pray they get saved today. Or some Christian just needs help or healing or a touch or a word from God. I pray you'd send it our way today. God, we're open to the Holy Ghost of God to move and work here today. We don't have a program where He has to work His way in. We want Him to have it from the start. And so God, help us to open our hearts and minds to the wooing of the Holy Ghost. Now bless the choir as they sing. Bless the remainder of the service for Thy glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
you, choir, for that. Well, we hope you enjoyed that song, a great song of praise to Jesus. All right, well, let's stand. We've already met a few visitors, but let's stand. We're going to give the choir a chance to come down. Let's greet each other this morning.
All right. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing. If you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service this morning. And again, thank you so much for being here. And Brother Ralph, you and Ms. Etta got a lot of family around you. If Dickie and Pat were here, you'd be in business, wouldn't you? I'm telling you, but we're glad to have the cooks here. Good to see them and good to see Ian. And I know I've forgotten the names, so you'll have to forgive me. Tell me who these, I know they've been here before. Megan and Phyllis, we're glad to have you. Thank you for being here. And good to have Travis and Stephanie here. By the way, Stephanie's mother called yesterday, had a special prayer request for a friend of hers, Pat Hay. You know who that is, Steph. And they were doing a heart cath on her, and they punctured her artery. And so she has not yet woke up from it. And she's literally trying to keep her bleeding to death on the inside. And so that's all we know right now. So just wanted to mention that as I was thinking about that. I saw Steph, and it made me think of it. And so anyway, you be sure and remember that. Good to have Brother Melvin back. He was down in Georgia with his brother, who fell and broke some ribs. And so he was down there kind of caring for him. And then good to see Miss Judy here. Sonny's at home, still having some neck issues, and they found out what's going on. They're going to go this week, and they're going to put steroid shots into his neck to try to, that they found out that it's his vertebrae are bone on bone. And so sometimes it rubs the nerve, sometimes it doesn't. You know how that is. And they also found out that Sister Judy's got the same thing. Although I called her yesterday. She said, I'm just praising the Lord, because the doctor said, aren't you in excruciating pain? And she said, why, no. The Lord's taking care of me. Amen? Is that right? I mean, she's about to shout on the telephone. And so, anyway, you pray for Sonny. He was able to come last week for us. I don't know if he's able to come on, but he did. And I talked to him on the phone a few minutes yesterday. But anyway, you remember them in prayer. And I'll just go ahead and give these to you quickly, and then we'll have another song. Pray for Joaquin and Vine's grandson, Nico. He's recovering. It's going to be a while. He's on a feeding tube for 8 weeks until they get his strength built up and he gets some weight on him and gets over all this other stuff he's gone through so they can do surgery to repair his esophagus. And that's where the problem is. And so you pray, Brother Joaquin, that he planned on staying through the whole month if he needed to. Nico will be released on Monday, and then they'll just kind of watch him and see how that goes. And so please remember him and Joaquin. And I know Sabine misses Joaquin, and I know he misses her. He told me he missed Sabine. He said, "I miss my wife." That's the way it should be. And so she wasn't able to go with him, but you remember them in prayer. Brother Steve Morris, continue to pray for him as he is working or battling with prostate cancer, although they have not yet done the treatment. They discovered that it's moderate, that it is in his prostate at this point. I don't think they know. So they're really going to try to aggressively that and take care of that, however they decide to do that. Arthur Richardson gets out of her cast on Wednesday, and so then she'll be in those walking boots. So I don't know how quickly after Wednesday she'll be able to come to church, but I know she's so tired of looking at these four walls. I don't blame her. In fact, she sent a thank you card, says, "Dear pastor and church family, it's a blessing, part of a church that cares. I just want to say thank you all for every single thing you've done for me during my recovery. Care and compassion overwhelms every prayer, call, text, visit, card, money, meal, and gift." Oh, we got all that. I'm glad we were able to. Is so appreciated. May God richly bless you all. Loving by Martha. And so we'll look forward to seeing old Martha back with her wearing her hats again. You know, I miss Martha not wearing them hats. And so you pay for Martha if you would. I mentioned Sonny. I mentioned Edward Wright, Mike Alexander, Louise Johnson. I talked with Matt Dowell yesterday and on his way to Charlotte. He's got a grandmother who's got Alzheimer's and he's starting to feel. And they've got her in a place. So they're actually, the family was getting together this week. I could tell it was really bothering them. They're getting together this weekend. They've decided they have to sell her house in order to pay for her care. And all the family was meeting Charlotte to kind of go over there and, you know, of course, see if there's anything they want, that kind of thing. You could tell it really woke him up about his grandma and the fact that they were having to sell the place where he remembered going to Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I tell you, that's hard to do. I tell you that. You know that's hard to do. And Matt, such a good young man. I really love Matt. He told me, he said, "I wish I could be in church." Anyway, you pray for Louise Johnson and pray for Brother Matt as well. And then I'll just mention this one thing, and then I'll have the announcements in a moment. The Jubilee pledges. You realize the Jubilee is less than a month away. And so we've got to get those pledges in by the Sunday before Jubilee because a lot of money's fixing to go out. And so you folks that have pledged, be sure and get your pledge money in as soon as possible, okay? Let's take care of that and be sure that there's always been something about, you know, "I pledged so much money, but I bought things." No, we need the, honestly, this is going to sound bad, I guess, but I don't mean it to. We need the money. That's what we need. I mean, the things are taken care of, but we really need the money to be able to pay for the things that we do. And this is our 25th, not here at this church, but our 25th total Jubilee. So it's going to be a biggie. And so we want, we got already hearing from, we got several phone calls Judy did while we were in New York. We're riding on the subway and people were calling about the Jubilee. And I'm telling you, Now listen, if you want to have a good time, ride the subway in New York City. I'm telling you, you can imagine. All I can say is you just can't imagine. And you know, Judy is such a kind and considerate woman. And we get ready to get on the subway, and this lady and about five children were beside me. I was in the door waiting to get on. She pushed me almost down to the ground to get by me with her kids. I didn't say anything. I was too busy trying to keep falling under the train. And I thought that'd be bad for me. And so when I finally got on, this lady was raising Cain. I mean, fussing for everything she had somebody. And after about 30 seconds, I realized it was Judy she was fussing at. She was cussing Judy for everything she had because Judy got her seat, telling you what's the truth. Now, she handled it very well. She didn't look up. She didn't fuss back or anything like that. Thank God. So I was in between both of them. I was the first one going to get punched. And I really wasn't up there to get punched on. But anyway, it calmed down after a while, and she, you know, everything's okay. okay. But I'm telling you, you cannot imagine the cultural difference when you drive 700 miles from Columbia, South Carolina to New York City. But we had a wonderful time and a lot of good memories, and got to see a lot of things that we didn't get to see before. And so I praise the Lord for the opportunity. Now tonight, brother, I hate to do this. I don't, you folks know I'm not gone very often. I don't preach many meetings. Don't go off too much unless it's off with Judy somewhere, and I'm rarely gone on the weekends. But tonight, my brother, we've been praying for all these years to get saved, getting baptized. And so I'm going to North Carolina. They wanted me to baptize him. And I said, no, pastor, I said, I want you to do it. I said, you're his pastor, so I want you to preach. I said, I'll do that. And so I'll be preaching in Monroe tonight at my brother's baptismal service. And so we're going to go up there. So I hope you'll understand. I know I've been gone a lot here over the last, it just so happened that everything wanted meetings, and they all happened within the last month. I probably won't do another thing till Christmas. So I like to be here. I like to be at home with my folks. You know, when God called me to preach, and of course I'm your pastor, and I believe in being in church and being at the church God called me to. If somebody calls me and says, you know, the Lord laid you on my heart to preach a meeting, how can I say no to that? I mean, how could I tell the fellow, no, I don't think God told you? I mean, first of all, who am I that God would even lay on somebody's heart? If they can get helped, if I can preach something that helps somebody or get them to the Lord, how could I possibly say no to that? And like I said, I don't do it very often because, I just get home. There's your preachers out there. But anyway, I appreciate your understanding, and I hope you will. I hope it doesn't bother you. If it does, well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to bother anybody, but this is a very important deal. My mother and my other brother who's unsaved will be there. So who knows? It'd be wonderful if my other brother gets saved tonight and just complete the circle. Amen. My dad's already in heaven. So it would be wonderful. So anyway, I just want to let you know that. All right, come on.
All right, enjoy your time this afternoon. Be back here at 5 o'clock in the choir for choir practice. Kind of abbreviated choir practice at 5 o'clock here at the church. And of course, the service at 5:30. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, as always. The Ladies Jubilee Planning Meeting is this coming Thursday. That'll be 6:30 here at the church. We'll have a meeting every Thursday from now to the Jubilee. So go ahead and make plans that way. We'll meet here to pray and start wrapping up their preparations for the Jubilee, which is coming first Saturday in June, I believe it is. That'll be a good time. Nothing on the calendar for this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday will be the third Saturday of the month, which means the following Saturday for the men. We had 7, I think, go yesterday. 5 of them were from our young adult Sunday school class. How about that? Your class got to catch up. But 5 of the 7 were from our young adult Sunday school class. So that was a blessing to see that. We made some good progress out there. Chad went for the first time, and I think did a great job. We appreciate that. That'll be Saturday the 18th will be the third Saturday of the month. Okay, I figured I'd get that wrong. I knew it was one or the other. Saturday the 19th. All right. Also on Saturday the 19th for the young people. Last year, y'all had a field day and kind of got washed out all out here. This year, for the homeschoolers, for the kids, they're doing a field day more indoors. So it'll be a bowling outing over at Anchor Lanes in Irmo. I think that's at 10 o'clock also. That's Saturday the 8th, the 19th. If you think your child can go to that, you let Brendan Shelton know by the 12th to let him know this week to come. Cost is covered for the kids. If the parents want to stay and bowl, homeschool kids. It's a homeschool field day. I'm sorry. Make sure I clarified that. Anybody can come, including parents, whatever, but it's $14 if you want anybody else to go on. So it's going outside again next week. But try this week to let them know that they go to that because I think they have to rain. That'll be on the 18th. I'm going to go ahead and mention next day will be Mother's Day. We will be having a service on Sunday night. Go ahead and make this be here. Lord on a Mother's Day.
I already said we'll have choir practice at 5 o'clock tonight instead of 4:30. Before we have it, since most of our people are here today, go ahead and recognize birthdays. So if you have a May birthday, your May birthday, he was sure to get his name up on the loop. Anybody with a May birthday, let me have you stand. Okay, I see Dante. Anybody else? May, Lele. Okay, where's Lele? Be back then. Okay, let's sing happy birthday to these. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday. We don't discuss age. We'll move on. Anniversaries. Any May anniversaries? And being none. Number 441. 441, Sunlight. Let's stand and sing a few verses. Sunlight, number 441. All right, sing together now.
I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love in all my darkness gleamed. Sunlight in my golden day. Sunlight. Savior found me, took away my sin. I have had the sunlight of His love within. The clouds may gather in the sky and billows round me roll. However dark the world may be, I've sunlight in my soul. That came to me, behold the brightness of it throughout eternity. Sunlight, sunlight in my golden day. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have the sunlight of His love within.
Good singing, thank you.
Hey, let's have the ushers come forward. We'll take care of the morning offering. Sure, if you are putting your Jubilee pledge in, to put it in an envelope and mark it where it says Jubilee so that it doesn't get confused with the general offering or anything you designate other than your tithe you give above your tithe and you want it to go somewhere, sure, and designate it on the envelope so they can take care of that, okay? Father, thank you again for the opportunity to give a portion of that which you've blessed us with. Bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to take this opportunity to introduce the special this morning. Me. Just worked out that way. I didn't plan it this way. Brian always waits until Saturday night before and says, oh, by the way. So there you go. So, was it, sure enough? I wasn't here last Sunday. Right. I hate smart aleck kids, don't you? All right, we'll try to sing one for you. Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. And now it's different, oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by His blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. And now it's different, oh, so different now. I went to church one day to hear them sing and pray. The preacher firmly plowed the gospel plow. He said, you must repent. So down the aisle I went, and now it's different. Oh, so different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by His blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. And now it's different. Oh, so different now. Aren't you glad it's different now? And now my hopes are bright. I praise Him day and night. how he could change me, so I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done, and the victory now is won. So now it's different. Yes, it's different now. It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since by His blood I'm whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me, and now it's different. Oh, so different now. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me, and now it's different. Yes, it's different now. Amen. Aren't you glad it's different now? I'll tell you, if you run across Zacchaeus in heaven, I guarantee you he'll say it was different after I come down out of that tree. Amen. I tell you, God, well, what a difference when Jesus passes by. Well, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 17, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, and here's a scripture, a passage in the Bible that certainly made a difference in the life of Peter, James, and John. And Matthew chapter 17 is page 1022 in your Scofield Bible. And you'll notice as you look here, I want to preach a little while on the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. So about the Mount of Transfiguration. Here is one, Matthew's text concerning transfiguration. You find the same story in the Gospels of Mark and Luke. This is Matthew's account as God gave it to him. In Matthew chapter 17, we begin reading in verse number 1. Let's read it together. In fact, let's do something. I want us to stand to our feet in reverence to the Word of God. I don't usually do this. I know the Lord impressed me that maybe we all, you know, when Solomon read the scripture at the temple when it was being dedicated, had all the people to stand while he read the parchments. I think that's a good thing. Some preachers do it, some don't. I don't think it's bad not to, but I think if the Lord helped me, I just out of respect to the Word of God start doing it. And so let's read. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. And answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not. They've done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. And the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Let's pray. Father, please bless the word of God to our hearts this morning. Use these lips of clay to preach only that which be pleasing in thy sight. May the Holy Ghost of God take this precious word that he wrote and apply it and put it in someone's heart today. Bless us now through the service in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things I notice here about this passage is it's got a lot of, you talk about name dropping. There's a lot of big, big names in this passage. You've got the Lord Jesus himself, of course. You've got Peter, James, and John. You've got Elijah and Moses. You've got God who speaks during this time. Then John the Baptist. That's a pretty good crowd. That's a pretty good group to belong to. And so here, of course, we find transfiguration of Christ. Now you understand that at this point, Jesus has already told his disciples and has already begun his journey to Jerusalem. The Bible said he set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. He was going to be crucified. He was on his way to finish the work that he started when he was born. And of course, he had told the disciples on a couple of occasions, and they really didn't get it completely. And so here we are now, and Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. These three brethren seem like they were together a lot throughout the scriptures. You remember the lame man at the gate of the tabernacle or the temple. Peter, James, and John went by, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." And there's some other places that they were together, and I'll show you that in a moment. But the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, I believe, is one of the most important events in Scripture. Now, we know about the birth. If you don't believe that Jesus was virgin born, you can't be a Christian. If you don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you can't be a Christian. If you don't believe that Jesus rose after 3 days from the grave, you can't be a Christian. Now, you may not understand totally the transfiguration, but that doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Transfiguration was important in the life of all of us because it ushered in the Lord's opportunity to finish the work that He started. And you remember that at the Garden of Gethsemane, He actually prayed, "Lord, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me." Humanity said, "I don't want to do this." But His divinity, by the way, that was encouraged at the transfiguration, I'll show you that in a moment, allowed Him to be able to say, "But not My will, but Thine be done." Now, Jesus, look in chapter 16 and verse 21, just across the page there, notice that this event takes place immediately after, just a few days after Jesus told His disciples in verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus showing His disciples that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day." Now, this event ushers in that final phase in the life of our Lord as He went towards Calvary. Now, but also, look at verse 27 of chapter 16, back across the page, and you'll notice that Jesus also previews His coming kingdom. Not only His death and His resurrection, but His coming kingdom. Verse 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to His works." Now, that's the rapture of the church, folks. That's the rapture. You see, when Jesus comes for us in the clouds, amen, then the Bible said that the first thing that happens, the Bible said that He'll bring His rewards with Him, will be the judgment seat of Christ. All Christians, born-again believers, are judged according to the books of our lives from the time we got saved till the time we meet Jesus. And so Jesus says here that when He comes that time, that every man shall be rewarded according to his works. In verse 28, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." Now, who's He referring to there? Now, He's not referring to Peter, James, and John or the disciples. You remember that one of the two individuals that were there was Elijah. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. Elijah did not die. But once again, here in a moment, I'll show it to you more. But in the very text we read, Jesus talked about two. And there'll be two witnesses that will be alive during the latter part of the tribulation period. And one will be, and the Bible calls their name. One will be Moses and the other Elijah. And so you see, they're important here, not only in the context of the scripture itself, but in future events. And so Jesus talks of that as He approaches that day. Now, as we see this transfiguration take place, the Bible said, on a high mountain apart. Now, that does not mean that it was high enough that everybody could see it, but it was high enough where they could get away from the crowd, the multitudes that followed Jesus everywhere. And I don't know, I'll be honest with you, I don't have an explanation why all the disciples were not present. But for whatever reason, Peter, James, and John were chosen or allowed to see this thing. And so now, I want us to look at the transfiguration itself. Number one, I want us to see a display, or the display of Christ coming. Transfiguration is, in fact, a picture or type of the coming of the Lord. Now, notice the transfiguring itself. The word transfigured here is the Greek word metamorpho. And we get our word metamorphosis. That Greek word, I'm probably not saying it right, Brother Steve, but anyway, it's probably close enough for, a dumbbell from Detroit. Anyway, the word means to change the outward form for appearance. Now, you think about a caterpillar. What happens? At a certain point, they spin that cocoon. Inside that cocoon, a metamorphosis taking place. It changes from that old ugly caterpillar, that beautiful monarch butterfly. Where I grew up, man, we had them by the gazillions up there. And I mean, every year for in the spring, in elementary school, we all, you know, for our science project, had to go find a cocoon and a caterpillar and a butterfly and put it in a jar and take it in, you know, because that was very abundant where we were. Saw it all the time. See those cocoons hanging, those birch and maple trees, the hundreds. I mean, just all over the place. And but there's something else the word means that makes it more personal to you and me. And that is this. Second part of that definition is especially to change to something exalted, glorified. Now, we're talking about a butterfly. We're talking about the Son of God on His way to Calvary to give His life, and the human side of Him, I believe, even at this point, is beginning to say, I wish I didn't have to do this. You know, he said that in the garden. But that doesn't mean, how many times have you thought about something long before you really thought about something or even performed something? I believe in my heart that Jesus, already knowing what was coming and that God had prepared Him for it, was already His human side beginning to think that way. But the divine side, listen, that glorified side, the glorified body of Christ that could go on and continue. And Peter, James, and John saw what would be the glorified body of Jesus Christ at the Transfiguration. They saw what it was going to be like. Can you imagine what that must have been like? You know, I think about when the Israelites were at the Red Sea. Can you imagine what that had to look like for real? I mean, don't forget the movie. That's pretty amazing. But I guarantee you that movie doesn't touch what really happened that day. Can you imagine being one of those Jews, one of those Israelites who watched as the breath of God parted the Red Sea? Somebody said, well, it happened at its most shallow part. The shallowest part of the Red Sea is 18 feet, and that's just along the coast. Somebody said, well, they walked over on ankle-deep water. Well, okay, if you think that way, then Pharaoh and all of his army, horses and all, drowned in ankle-deep water. Here you go. You figure it out for yourself. I believe the Bible, don't you? And the fact that they were able to see that. Can you imagine waking up and hearing the chariots of Pharaoh coming, and all of a sudden look back behind you, and there is this great big pillar of fire that gets between Pharaoh and the Israelites. And as the daylight comes along, it changes from fire to a cloud. And you say, well, man, fire could stop me, but a cloud won't. A cloud of God can do anything it wants to. And it stopped Pharaoh and his army dead in their tracks while the Israelites crossed over. And so to see things like that, to see the Shekinah glory of God from the outer court as God accepted on the Day of Atonement the sacrifice of the people. And the Bible said if the sacrifice was accepted, that God would condescend in the Shekinah glory of God. They could see it. You imagine what that must have been like. You imagine when Mary and Martha and the other Mary ran down to the tomb and looked in and Jesus was not there. You imagine what that must have been like. Now we find here an event that doesn't seem to get as much attention, but was just as magnificent as any of the others. Because at that moment, there was Moses and Elijah and Peter and James and John and Jesus and God, all at the same spot, all getting involved in something that if it wasn't for that, and the metamorphosis, if you will, of God, Jesus Christ being transfigured, being given that divine encouragement to do the will of God, it wouldn't be here today. We find the transfiguration. In fact, hold your place and turn to Luke quickly with me. I want to show you something in Luke's account, Luke chapter 9, real quickly. Luke chapter 9. I told you that what they saw was something, you know, they'd traveled with Christ. They knew what He looked like. But this something happened here, this transfiguration. Now, listen to what Luke says in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 29. The Bible says, and as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. Now, you think that's glistening? I don't know the difference between glistering and glistening, but I'll tell you, there must be a difference, because all of a sudden, the countenance, the look of Jesus had changed. I mean, imagine as you've been with Him all that time, and suddenly you look at Him, and, hey, Lord, there's something different about You. Well, sure. It was His Father's approval. It was His Father's encouragement that we got to do this, son. It's got to be done. We knew it from the beginning, and it's got to be done. So he encouraged. Imagine God himself calling upon you to encourage you to finish a task. Oh, what a blessing. And so Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of Christ in his glorified body as he will appear during his millennial kingdom. What they saw was the Jesus Christ who will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. We won't turn for time's sake. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that he would come in power and great glory. Now we know that he came the first time as a human, with all the human tendencies, but never sin, no sin in his life. He never failed once. He never fell into temptation. But when he came the first time, they beat him. They spit on him. They mistreated him. He hung on the cross totally naked. Can you imagine the shame? Listen, I saw in New York City, I saw more nakedness than I care to ever see in my. In fact, there was a couple of times I told Judith that we got to go. We got to move or do something else. I said, we can't stay here. I said, I'm telling you, because the first couple of days it was 40 degrees and raining. Like I froze to death. Judy got a head cold. The next day it was 88. And the next day was 91. And I'm telling you, you talk about clothes flying off of people. And I'm telling you what's the truth. Most of them folks did not need to be showing anything. God knows it's true. We went to Coney Island. The beach was open. I'm telling you, it looked like it was open. It looked like a bunch of whales up on that beach. I'm sorry. It looked like a bunch of folks stuffing 10 pounds of taters in a 5-pound sack. Say amen right there. I saw more lumps and bumps than I wanted to see. And I'm telling you, and we went to Central Park. They laid out in the grass in Central Park. Thousands of them. I said, we got to move on. I said, I can't take this, man. I mean, I'm not the best looking thing in the package, but I'm telling you right now, I saw some ugly stuff while I was in New York. I'll tell you that. Jesus hung, and you know what? They weren't a bit ashamed. They weren't ashamed. They walked around and laid out in the open with their kids running around. Unbelievable. Jesus hung naked and in shame. He wasn't excited to do that. And to do that, did it because he loved us. And I want you to notice not only the transfiguration itself, but notice the timing of it. The timing of it. The Bible says go to chapter 16, go back to Matthew, look back over in verse 28 of chapter 16. And the Bible says, verily I say, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. About 6 days after the promise of the transfiguration, happened on the seventh day. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, the Bible said that it happened about 8 days after he told them of his receiving death. Now, if you read here, it was 7 days. Somebody said, well, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Oh, if I say to you, I'll be here in about 8 days, that could be the seventh day. That could be the ninth day. About 8 days. Well, it happened on the seventh day. Sounds to me like that's about 8 days, doesn't it? There's no contradiction in Scripture here. Now, why God didn't just say it'll be inside, I don't know. Doesn't matter. But I do know this. The number seven is the number of completion in the Bible. And so here we find God being, Jesus being introduced in a whole new light, as it were, on the seventh day. In fact, you don't have to turn there for time's sake because I know I've got to go. But Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1, the last day of creation, day that he rested. You know, every other day ends with this. And the evening and the morning for that day. First day, second day, third day, sixth day. On the day that he rested, you don't read that phrase there. Evening and the morning were the seventh day. Because I believe that's a picture of eternity. 6 days, the Bible said, 6 days shalt thou work. The seventh day thou shalt rest from thy labor. The Bible says that we must work while it is day, for the night cometh, but no man can work. I believe eternity is that seventh day. I believe that when that seventh day strikes, and by the way, it could begin today. The rapture could come today, and we would begin our eternity of rest. Hallelujah. There'll be no evenings and mornings in heaven. It'll all be one long, glorious day. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Well, I'm glad that that day of the Lord is coming. I want you to quickly, let's go to number two. Go to verse 3 of Matthew 17. So we've seen the display at Christ's coming. I want us to look quickly at the discussion at Christ's coming. There was some discussion going on. There was some talk going on. Verse 3 says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Now, you got to understand, Moses has been dead for a couple thousand years at this point. Elijah's been gone over 1,000 years at this point. Peter, James, and John had never heard the voice of Moses and Elijah. They'd heard about them, never heard. You know,
It's always amazing to me, and I think the oldest one I've ever heard was an old recording of Billy Sunday. I'm talking about back in the early 1900s. I've never heard D.L. Moody's voice. I'd love to heard him preach. I never heard Jonathan Edwards. Wouldn't it have been great to hear him preach that great message that he preached? I mean, we don't get to hear. Moses was the one who gave the law. God gave the law to. Now they're hearing Moses talk. Elijah went up in a whirlwind. Elijah looked at Ahab and said, "Bud, it's not going to rain till I say so." That's a very courageous man. One that God fed down at the brook. Remember Brother Brian preaching on the brook? And I'll tell you what a message that was. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Hey, Elijah was talking out loud where they could hear him. So notice the subjects in the discussion quickly. Moses represents those. Remember, Moses died before he got into the promised land. And it's a picture. Moses represents those who have died in the Lord. You go to any graveyard, most of us have family members and have gone on to the Lord, gone on to heaven. Hey, Moses here is a picture because both of these men are Old Testament figures. But Moses is a picture of those who died in the Lord. They were headed to the promised land, but they in this life didn't get in life, but in death they did. And then there's Elijah, who represents those who are alive and remain. Because isn't that what the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians? That will not prevent those which are asleep, those that have died in the Lord. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's that crowd that Moses represented. And then we, which are alive and remain, that's the crowd Elijah represented. It so happens to be that it's such a good representation that during the tribulation period, the same two men are going to show up. And for a while, be a witness. Now, they'll both be killed. They will. The Bible says, appointed unto man wants to die. Elijah's going to be killed in that moment. You say, well, Moses already died. It doesn't say that you can only die once. How many times did Lazarus die? That I know of. If there's any more, I don't know about it. That's enough. Amen? Yeah. And so these same two, this reference, here's the Lord Jesus who is proclaiming to his disciples, I'm coming back. And I'm going to be way better the second time than I am this time. And I brought Moses so everybody will know that those who died in me will see me. I brought Elijah because I want those to know if they don't die, they still get to see me. They believe in me. And all the while, there's Peter, James, and John looking at each other and going, can you believe what? Both men pointed to Christ, didn't they? Moses. Connect him with the law. What did the law do? The law is our schoolmaster to teach us of our unrighteousness. It points to Christ, doesn't it? And then there's Elijah, the prophet. The prophet who pointed to Christ. In Acts chapter 10 and Romans chapter 10, it talks about the prophets pointing to Christ in the Old Testament. Then there's the substance of the discussion. Moses represented the sacrifices of the Old Testament. He gave the law concerning the sacrifice. And all of those sacrifices did what? Pointed to the death of Jesus. And you see Moses as he's talking to Elijah, and all of a sudden he points at Jesus. He's probably saying, you know, all those lambs that we killed was pointing to him. Yeah. And old Elijah said, I believe that. And what about old Elijah? He said, yeah, and me and the prophets, we preached about the coming king, and he's the one we're preaching about. And Moses said, I believe that too. Because you see, it's really all about Jesus, isn't it? You know how I know? Because if you read the text, you'll find out the first thing Peter did was talk without thinking. You believe that? That Peter would ever say anything without thinking first? Anybody here ever said something before they thought about it? Yeah, that's right. Hey, somebody said a long time ago that if you put your brain in neutral, you better turn down the sound. These folks get caught all the time because they have a hot mic. They think the interview's over, and then they say something really dumb. The microphone's still on, and now they're in trouble. Better be careful what you say out loud. Well, Peter said, Lord, it sure is good for us to be here. He said, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. It was probably the P.T. Barnum of the New Testament. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. He said, I think it'd be great if we build three tabernacles. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I remember all the time they're talking to each other, I can picture Moses and Elijah looking at each other saying, No. Because if you read the text, not long after that, after God spoke up and said, this is my beloved son. He said that before at Jordan, remember? He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the Bible said, and the next thing that happened was Jesus was alone. You know why? Moses and Elijah said, it's all about him and we're bowed out now. We've made our presentation. We've made our presence known. But it's not about us. It's about him. And if you're going to talk about us, we're going home. Many religions and denominations and churches of today that's all about them and what we do and what we have and how we are. And listen, it's not about us. It's about him. God said, I must decrease and he must increase. We find the substance of that discussion. The spectators, Peter, James, and John, were set apart on three separate occasions during up until this point. At each time they were together, they were exposed to some type or part of death. Think about it. Well, when Jairus' daughter was raised, Peter, James, and John were there in Luke chapter 8. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember as he went apart to pray, that Peter, James, and John went with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then, of course, here at the Transfiguration, he heard three discussing the death of Christ and who he was. They had a lot of opportunity to discuss and hear about death. But what do these events show us quickly? And I'll close in a moment. And they saw Jairus' daughter raised. They knew that Jesus had power over death. They got to experience that, didn't they? When they were at Gethsemane, they saw Jesus as he surrendered death. Not my will, but thine be done. And then at the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw that Jesus was glorified over death. Those three times, they experienced death. But every time Jesus was there, thank God, death took a back seat. A living Savior. That's why I'm different now. Because I know what death is. I've never died physically. I know what spiritual death is. I know what it is to be lost. And thank God, I'm glad Jesus passed by. And death took a back seat. We give you the last thing, and that's the declaration of Christ's character. Peter, James, and John, the Lord is good for us. Verse 5, while yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased him. Thank God Peter spoke without thinking, but Jesus, God, took over and said, let me get you back on track, boy. Because we find Jesus' preeminence in his Son. God said, this is my son. Not Moses, not Elijah, him. One in the middle. By the way, where was he? In the middle. Or should he? In the middle. Colossians 1 says, in all things he must have preeminence. You don't build your Christianity around your life. Build your life around your Christianity. In his person, this is my beloved Son. He's preeminent in his performance. God said, in whom I'm well pleased. God ever says he likes what you're doing. He's something right. Because he doesn't hand that kind of compliment out all the time. Then, of course, he was preeminent in his proclamation when he said, here, they heard all three talking. I know they were so excited to hear the voice of Moses and Elijah. They're not the two that they needed to hear. They needed the man in the middle. God said, you listen to him. And then, of course, in verse 6 through 8 is the departure of Christ's companion. I told you, as soon as Peter spoke up and started to kind of get off track, Elijah bowed out. Let's leave the Lord there because he's the one that deserves it. I'm going to close with a verse in preaching. Why don't you turn to 1 Corinthians with me real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read the verse and we're going to pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Remember, the transfiguration was all about Christ. Sure, Peter, James, and John were there. Sure, John the Baptist, God was there. John the Baptist was mentioned there. I mean, pretty good company. Moses and Elijah were there. So, I mean, pretty eventful situation. Listen, and now, listen to what the Apostle Paul, who had he been saved at that time, probably would have been there. Listen to what he said. What Paul says, and I'm done. Verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And look what it says. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ. Paul said, I'm a pretty educated fella. I've been around the block a few times. I saw the Lord after his resurrection. Said, but I don't want to be praised. I don't want. And at one time, they even said, he even had to say, look, I don't even baptize people that often because I don't want people to talk about Paul's baptism. But I don't want to be noticed. He said, I count it all dung for the excellency of the cause of Christ. He said, I'm determined not to know anything or anyone except Jesus Christ and him crucified. If we're doing this to get noticed, and you're getting your reward right now. Remember what Jesus said when we talk about folks praying in public? Those words, you got your reward. Somebody says, wasn't that a beautiful prayer? You just got paid. It's worth much better when God answers a prayer. Then you really get paid. Elijah and Moses bowed out because all of a sudden they felt like they were the center of attention. God said, let me get on track, boy. This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. Here, he folks, it's all about everything I am, everything I hope by the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. I sure thank you for the privilege of your word. Lord, as we read of this great event called the Transfiguration. It seems like when you read it, it's a pretty isolated and only attended by three human beings apart from the spiritual care. Lord, what a great message. That the sinlessly perfect Son of God born in transfigured before he and could understand what he liked. What it was like. And Lord, as they saw Moses and Elijah, they recognized that the law and the prophet many nations. Let them hear the law. Lord, all of that pointed Christ. And there was God who they heard his voice again say, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. Lord, I pray that we'll put our focus our attention on the right person, all of us. It's not Moses, Elijah, not Peter, James, and John. It's not John the Baptist. It's not Pastor Rick. It's not
deacons or Sunday school teachers or church members or mother or dad or grandma and grandpa. It's all about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Not about our education. It's not about our family situation. Not about our financial standing. All about Christ. Lord, if there's somebody here lost, may they come to Christ. Not come to the religion. Not come to the rite or the ritual. Not come to the reverend. But come to Jesus. Lord, there may be somebody here hurting, has a need, prayer request upon their heart. Lord, I want to take this opportunity, but the invitation, say, thank you that in just a few hours I'll get, but I prayed for me. I'll get to see my brother. Oh, Lord, not for show, because he got saved. His life is anyway. Oh, I'm glad it's about Jesus. Lord, I pray. We'll leave Anchor Baptist Church with a refreshed view of who just the invitation. And amen.